Colin Russo kicking things off with a little Kaiser's Coach's Corner in the pregame because we got a big game tonight with Spanish River taking on Goldman. But they had a big win last week over Western. Head coach of Spanish River, the Sharks, joins me now. That's Nick LaSala. Got their first district championship in over 30 years. Coach LaSala, welcome in. How are we doing today? What's going on?
We're good, man. We're good. We're grateful to be in football season still.
So tell me a little bit about how those 2 weeks went. From the end of the regular season into playoff time, once you got that Western bid, how'd that next 2-3 weeks up until game day look?
Yeah, we had a feeling we were going to be playing them. That's who we've been slotted to play for a few weeks. So coaches got a little bit of a head start and had some film gathered. And then once it was official, we started sharing that info with the kids. First week of that bye week was really like our first bye week of the season. And by that, I mean we didn't have a bye week during the season. So kind of used that to get healthy and kind of break up the routine and break up the monotony, you know, because I think you get to a point in the season where you're trying to stave off burn off or burn out for a lot of the guys, coaches and players included. And I just think it was a good week to kind of recharge our battery and get back to being who we were in the summer and taking pride in that. And then as soon as we found out that we were playing Western, put the pads back on, and started getting back to work, you know. Told them we need to start cleaning up little things, started focusing on fundamentals, you know, making sure that we understand that you got to do simple better, you know. Simple is not necessarily easy, but you got to do simple better, and that's ultimately what's going to win or lose a game in the playoffs. And that probably held true, you know. So,
yeah, and into the game itself against Western, 23-21 final score. Did that game go according to plan? What were sort of the pivots and changes that you had to make mid-game?
I don't think anything ever goes according to plan.
Right.
You know, probably a microcosm of life. You know, you think you got everything planned out, and it surely doesn't play out like that, you know. So we knew it was going to be a dogfight. We knew that. That's a program that's a well-respected program in Broward County and has been doing a lot of good things for the last 10, 12 years, you know, and made some runs themselves, you know. So that's one of those programs where you kind of throw the record out the window. It doesn't really matter because you know they're going to have guys and you know they're going to be well-coached. And they were. They had dudes and they were well-coached. So you can get into a slugfest with them. You know, and it's a back and forth. They go up 7-0, we tie it. They go up 14-7, we tie it. They go up 21-14. You know, and the last 5 minutes of the game was just kind of a roller coaster of emotion there, you know. Hit a huge chunk play for 70, 75 yards to get in scoring range and, you know, have to end up going for it on 4th-and-1, convert a 4th-and-1, and then the next play, you know, Jaden Phillips scrambles out of the pocket on a naked boot and finds Derek in the back of the end zone for one of the best catches that we've had all year, you know, and we think, boom, we've tied it up with a minute 16 to go and they block the extra point, you know. So then you got to move on quickly, you know, and just assess the situation. Fortunately enough, we had 3 timeouts and didn't burn any on that offensive possession, didn't burn any, you know, getting ready to line up for the onside kick. So had 3 in the holster there that we were able to use on defense, and we stopped the run 1st and 2nd down and bottled them up and kind of forced them to make a tough decision. And I think they made the right one. They just didn't convert throwing the football, you know, and then it was our turn to get a special teams break. They had a high snap that the punter did a good job of just ultimately handling, you know, but Xavier Jimenez gets back there and gets a hand on the punt and Malik Frederick does a great job of fielding it and not letting the clock run at all and not losing valuable field position at that point in the game. And we started their 45-yard line. And, you know, so now we've had a number of guys that have made plays for us that maybe haven't necessarily made the plays throughout the year or as much as some of the other guys, you know. But Javonte Lewis, huge chunk play. Tyson Reynolds, 4th-and-1 conversion. Derek, big touchdown. Now Xavier's got a blocked punt and Malik saves his field position. And then, you know, Old Reliable comes up in the middle of the field and Jaden Elder and hits a big chunk play, which, you know, we hadn't really thrown it in the middle of the field during the game, you know, and maybe caught them sleeping a little bit. And Jaden Phillips drives the football in there, you know, kind of layers it over the linebacker, drives it in there, trusts his guy. He goes up and catches the ball in between 3 people and gets us the chunk play that we knew we needed to be in field goal range. And the rest is history, right?
That's Nick LaSala, head coach of Spanish River football, who won last week in the first round of the playoffs at the regional level, Western, 23-21 final score. Coach, a lot to break down there. First of all, are you the type to not use your timeouts throughout the second half? I feel like just having three pocketed timeouts completely changed the game. Were there moments in the fourth quarter, especially on that long drive, to convert and that fourth and one and then eventually score the touchdown that eventually did not tie the game but got it to 21-20. You didn't use any timeouts during then. Were there times where you're thinking, in hindsight, boy, I was close to using a timeout there because that would have completely changed the game had you had less timeouts? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I considered going for two when we scored because I just felt like, we go 88 yards to score a touchdown there at the end of the game. Obviously, momentum was on our side, and I'm sitting there kind of debating, should we go for two? Should we not go for two? In hindsight, I would probably go for two.
Wow.
Especially with the way that our defense was playing, I didn't feel like they were going to be able to go down the field necessarily and maybe get in field goal range. And as the blocked extra point proved, field goals aren't a sure thing in high school football, even when you got a good one, you got a good snapper, good holder, a good kicker.
Right.
Still not a guarantee. So if I could go back, I may have gone for two, and if I didn't have the three timeouts, I probably definitely would have gone for two, but you try to hold on to those because just like it played out there at the end of the football game, three timeouts can mean another possession, and it meant another possession for us. And ultimately that's what allowed us to win the game. I always tell our defensive coordinator, if you need one, you got it. If it's third or fourth down, if you see somebody misaligned, you see a matchup you don't like, I tell them all the time, if you need it, you got it, and
wow.
usually doesn't take me up on the offer. And so we just, fortunately we were in a situation where we had all three, because obviously if we had two, they're probably running the football on third down. And instead of having 50 seconds, I think it was 48 on the clock or whatever it was. Instead of having 48 seconds on the clock, we're probably looking at, who knows, 15, 20 seconds, So obviously it changed the trajectory of what happened on that series. So, yeah, they're valuable for sure. You don't want to burn them for no good reason.
Right, and I want to talk about another thing. So it's fourth quarter, a little over a minute left. You guys were able to score a touchdown, down 21-14. You get it to 21-20. You miss the extra point. You're thinking that the game is going to be tied with a minute to go. Maybe you're thinking overtime. You don't know what the next step kind of looks like. Then the extra point gets missed, and you're still losing the game. How did the guys respond to that, post that play? What did you tell them to kind of center them in? I imagine there's some sort of panic, but you also got to trust your guys that they've been battle-tested enough to be able to deal with moments like this. Tell me about that, how that next couple minutes, post-block extra point, looked for Spanish River.
Yeah, there's no time to gather everybody together and tell them to calm down. You got to roll, And so I think we've been in situations throughout the year and I think it's important that when you get into those moments, those high pressure situations and maybe tensions are mounting, that number one, the coaches remain calm. And you just move on. And we've been doing it all year. If there's a bad call we don't agree with, I tell the coaches, forget it, play the next play, and move on. And I just think we're so, I think we've been so trained to do that all year that we had no choice, and because the game was not over and we did have three timeouts and we knew we just needed to get a stop. And the way that we're able to get chunk plays through the air, throughout the course of the season, it's been every football game that we've played, whether we win or lose, we're hitting chunk plays down the field. Just give us another opportunity, and we had already put together three scoring drives, so we knew we could do it. So, just try the onside kick because you got to take your chance, and okay, we don't get it. Let's get the stop. There was no time to panic. We tell our guys, you can't blink, and you kind of got to fall back on your training and don't react in the moment. We coach body language excessively. Don't react in the moment. Just find a way to respond in a positive manner. And so proud of our football team for how they handled that situation. I think it's a testament to them. I think our quarterback did a great job of operating that series and understanding you know, you absolutely cannot have negative plays. You know, we talk about these situations. I send him stuff all the time. He's a football junkie. He sends me stuff all the time, and just understanding that, you know, sometimes an incompletion, ripping an out route like he did and not completing it, but it goes out of bounds, is a good play because you take an opportunity, and even if you don't hit it, you stop the clock. Understanding that hitting a chunk play, if it's in the middle of the field and you hit a chunk play, the clock is going to stop. So we just need to be urgent in between the whistles, you know, and we did that. So I thought he did a great job of executing that moment. And a lot of that comes down to the quarterback, right? Because you're the leader on the field and you're executing it. And I put the pressure on him in practice. When we practice 2-minute situations, if the clock is rolling, he has to make decisions. We don't have time to look back to the sideline and get the perfect play and create a new formation. We have one guy that we label as the adjuster within a drive, and one person moves depending on where the ball is. And if the clock's rolling, you go, you know? And so I didn't tell him to spike the football. He spiked it on his own. He knew the situation and he played it perfectly. And he got our kicker within range, you know, and we trust that kid. We know that he can make kicks for us. And we knew that he was going to win us a football game at some point this year. He won one at Seminole Ridge with an extra point from about the same range. So, you know, never had a doubt in my mind that if we got him within range and we just locked it up front, that he was going to make the kick.
Wow, a memorable, awesome win over Western last week, 23-21, the state championships. Coach, now looking ahead, you got Goldman out of Miami coming into town. That's going to be tomorrow around 7 o'clock. What does this week of practice look like? What have been the keys you've tried to center in? And what things do you guys need to do right in order to come out of this game victorious?
Yeah, it's very much the same sentiment as last week. We got to do the simple things better than them, you know, but simple is not easy. And just stay unified, you know, stay together as a team. I think that, you know, we got a couple key pieces that we've kind of been holding out of practice this week because they've been a little banged up. They got a lot of treatment yesterday. They both reported that they feel pretty good, so they should be practicing today. You know, so we're as close to full tilt as we could be for this time of the year. So we're fortunate for that. Put a lot of time in and just taking care of their bodies. And you know, I've been around teams where the coaches want to practice for 3.5 hours when you go out at this time of the year because they'll script 60, 70, 80, 90 plays, you know, and that's totally understandable, you know, but you get to this point in the year and I think that the meeting time and the time that you spend on their bodies and the mental is just as important, you know, and we've spent a lot of time on that this week. Had a short but productive practice on Monday, you know, we were out on the grass for 65, 70 minutes, but if it's good work, you get in, you get out, you do the other things that are necessary to get the body back because we know we're a physical football team. And so much of it is just, like I said, it just comes down to who's the smarter team, who's the tougher team, which team is less banged up, you know, who's going to take care of the football, who's going to operate urgently in a 2-minute situation. That's what wins and loses football games, you know, so we could sit there and try to run a million plays in practice, but let's not reinvent the wheel right now. You know, we've done very little install since the playoffs started, you know, maybe a couple motions here or there or, you know, something like that, adding a pass concept, maybe to a run concept that are both installed already. But, you know, we're not sitting here and trying to install a new playbook for this time of the year. We're good at what we're good at, and we need to continue to do it and just clean up the little details, you know. So that's been our emphasis really since the regular season ended.
Right. And Coach LaSalle, last thing here, I appreciate giving us the time pregame looking ahead to Goldman. Looking at seeing what Goldman does well, also 7-4 out of the Miami area, what are going to be the keys that you need to make sure that you hone in regard to how they play? As somebody who doesn't know, does Palm Beach County and Treasure Coast football, what does Goldman have to offer that you guys are going to need to be on top of?
Yeah, they're watching them. They're a little bit unorthodox, particularly on offense, you know. So they have speed up front on defense. I'm wearing my offensive hat right now. They have speed up front on defense. So, you know, we just got to make sure up front, you know, because it looks like we're going to be bigger than them up front. You know, we've got to make this a battle of big versus small. You know, if we make it into a battle of, you know, how quick are we up front versus how quick are they up front? It might not bode well for us. They're quick up front, you know, so we got to make sure that we communicate because their game is probably going to be getting some movement and stunning and trying to bring speed off the edge and knifing across the tackle space and stuff like that. So that's been, for us, that's been an emphasis in practice. On the flip side of the ball, you know, their offense is a little bit unorthodox with their splits up front. You know, it's pretty interesting. It's almost like there's two gaps in between each offensive lineman. You know, so that's going to be a very different look for our guys, because while we play around with our splits on offense and practice and they see it a bit, it's usually one or two guys. It's not the entire line, you know. So just trying to get them used to that and understanding, you know, how to be gap sound, and that it's not necessarily the C-gap isn't really the C-gap this week. It's kind of the alley, you know. And so just making sure we're aligned properly and we have some different things within our Rolodex and some different answers in case they find something on us. You know, I think it's going to be important to get hands-on. They're a big screen team, so it's going to be important to get hands on their offensive lineman this week and not let them release and kind of feel that up front when they're getting ready to release, you know. So they do a good job of doing what they do, and you know, that one of our philosophies is let's be hard to prepare for as a team, you know, and be as multiple as possible. And I think that they're a tough team to prepare for because they do something that's very different than you're going to see on film from any other team. So I'm looking forward to the battle, you know, and it seems like they're going to travel really well and come represent Dade County. You know, they have a lot of people coming up, so we're looking forward to representing Palm Beach County as the only 7A team alive right now. And we hope that not just the city of Boca and the school turns out to support us, but that Palm Beach County comes out to support us, because this is kind of that time of the year where there's a little bit of trash talk between, you know, Palm Beach, Broward, Dade, and who's the best county and all that stuff. And obviously Broward and Dade, you know, there's so many good teams. It's so dense down there, you know, year in and year out. You know, there's going to be a state champion from down there. And, you know, so there's been some really good teams in Palm Beach County over the years since I started playing in high school. And, you know, we want to represent Palm Beach County well and show that, you know, even in the 7A stage, that there's a presence for the county, you know. And this is a great opportunity for us. We got to play against Broward County last week. We get to play against Dade County this week and get to do it at home. You know, we're extremely fortunate. First time that Spanish River has ever hosted in the playoffs was last week. First time they've ever gone to the second round of the playoffs is this week. So, you know, we know our team is kind of used to making history at this point, and it's just the next opportunity, you know. And most importantly, we just need to have a great Thursday before we even think about tomorrow.
All right. I appreciate it, Coach LaSala, and looking forward to seeing what happens in the game. Looking forward to following it. And I appreciate you giving us the time, telling us a little bit about last week's game and this week's game. Best luck the rest of the way. I know you'll have your guys prepared, but looking forward to talking again soon, all right?
Appreciate it, man. Thank you. Go Sharks.
You got it. It's Coach Nick LaSala of Spanish River Football. They got Goldman on Friday night, of course, 7 p.m., so stay tuned for that. All the coverage here on ESPN Top 63, ESPN West Palm. This has been your Kaiser's Coach's Corner on ESPN 106.3.